Welcome in time for Daily Editorial, the Monday after Father's Day. I hope you guys all had a good one. Jimmy, you got about three very important subjects you want to talk about. Let's talk about how China has kind of snubbed the United States first.
Anthony Blinken, the U.S. Secretary of State under the Biden regime, visited China this week and just the last couple of days. When he arrived, he was met by Bill Burns, the U.S. ambassador to China, and then basically the regional affairs, North America affairs manager for the Chinese foreign ministry, and basically with very little fanfare. And usually when a secretary is...
As opposed to a comparable office in China, right?
Exactly. And typically when you... You know, it's kind of a snub if you don't have the equal level officer meeting with the U.S. Secretary of State. Blinken did get a sit down with the foreign minister and did get a sit down with President Xi, the Chinese Xi Jinping, the Chinese leader, basically the leader for life. But the negotiations, you know, according to Blinken, oh, yeah, they were fine. You know, we're able to continue dialogue. But ultimately, there was no positive negotiations, no positive outcome. I think for the most part, it's just somewhat embarrassing for the U.S. There's no real change on Taiwan. The Chinese basically, you know, were sending the balloon over the United States for intelligence collection, and Blinken says that issue's closed. Well, it's closed because they want it to be, but the Chinese have continued to push all kinds of activities, both in and around their area, but as well as over North America. So that's going to be a continuing problem. And I just think there was no real success with Blinken being there.
What was Biden trying to accomplish, in your opinion, Jimmy?
I think he was trying to appease the Chinese. I think it was like Chamberlain going to Munich, you know, with Germany, yeah. Back in, you know, the early, you know, the first stages of just prior to World War II. I think they were trying to negotiate and calm things down. From my perspective, that only gives the Chinese a stronger set of confidence. And of course, they look at the administration and the absolute destruction they're doing to both the U.S. economy as well as the culture in the United States. They're probably licking their lips thinking, okay, we can do this rather easily. When I say do this, take over, dominate global politics and global economics.
We're certainly making ourselves look silly in the world. There's no question about that, Jim.
Yeah, they had some discussion on Ukraine, apparently. Of course, the Chinese will not be honest with anything, and they'll continue to support whatever is to their advantage. And that it just keeps getting uglier there as well. So, yeah, I see no positive outcomes. One thing that was very interesting to me, that according to reporting, Blinken specifically wanted to expand bilateral military exchanges with the Chinese. And that to me is like, what the heck are you thinking? You just want to go ahead and try to build relationships, or do you want to give them all the knowledge of how we operate and how we function? Because that's incredibly dangerous when we get into a volatile situation.
Well, one would think so. I think the whole thing is getting sillier and sillier, if you want to know the truth. It's we got a president, you know, I was gonna put up the president's notation at the White House on the lawn of Pride Day, and I watched the whole thing as you suggested last Saturday. Absolutely embarrassing to me, Jim.
Yeah, I mean, it's just insanity. I can't, you can't even visualize 10 years ago, even under the Obama administration, you can't visualize this rapid decline, really just within 2 years of the Biden regime, of how low they can go. And how, you know, they're supporting transgender ideology for children. They're absolutely advocating for, you know, children's sex changes and, you know, hormone blockers. And then they're, you know, really pushing this transgender policy issue. And of course, this is infiltrates our school systems and every other. You can't think of, I can't think of another thing that would want, that would separate out Americans and get them angry, you know, unless you're trying to do it. It doesn't make any sense to me at all.
No, zero sense. I agree 100% on that. I thought that some of the people who were taking part in that pride movement, I got to tell you, I thought it was just absolutely embarrassing for the country. Totally embarrassing.
Very embarrassing. And it's but, you know, it's almost on a daily basis that Biden says something, you know, stupid, or that they attempt to cover up some mistake that he made, or that the administration, you know, bumbles or has somebody arrested, or, you know, it's just crazy all the things that are happening. And it is incredibly embarrassing, I think. And, you know, I still believe in this nation. I think we're going to somehow turn it around. But when you see some of the grifters and some of the corruption out there, it's kind of hard to stomach. You know, Chris Christie, who's running, you know, announced his candidacy for president.
Right.
And talk about a grifter.
Yeah.
A guy that says he's going to go directly against Trump. He's actually come out and said that transgender procedures on minors should be allowed if the parents consent. I mean, how disgusting is that? And how the heck do you think you're going to get conservatives and Republicans in order to support you? So you've got to be reaching for some other group, you know, from a political perspective. You've got to be looking for money. You've got to be looking for fame, or you want to throw, you know, a fire into the Republican primary process in order to somehow gain something out of it. But it doesn't make any sense to me from a strategic political view why he would make public comments like that to a conservative Republican primary.
I'm really surprised that Chris Christie would have come up with something like that, Jim.
Yeah, he publicly stated it. It's unfortunate, but it's, you know, again, it's embarrassing what's happening across the board in politics in the United States.
Yeah.
It's, you know, no holds barred. They're doing, it's just insane. The only guy that actually seems to be like staying consistent right now is Donald Trump.
Yeah,
and a lot of people's like, what the heck, you know? But man, he's moving away in New Hampshire and in Iowa, in the polling there, actually getting very far away from Ron DeSantis. And of course, when you have Pence and Haley and, you know, Asia Hutchinson, the former Arkansas governor, the, you know, total kind of rhino guy, they're pulling those anti-Trumpers into a multitude of different groups, which is really diminishing their ability to go forward. And it actually is expanding Trump's support within the primary process. And of course, in national polling, he is actually either equal to Biden, or in many cases now polling above him, which is stunning the mainstream media. But it's interesting politics, I'll tell you that.
Well, it is interesting politics. Jim, let me ask you a question about Trump. Political discussion is getting more and more common around here, and a number of people don't understand something that you said on the weekend show in the first segment, and that was the comment that the comment about Trump really didn't break the law when he took the documents. Can you elaborate on that? In a very simplistic way, by the way.
Sure. Well, it's pretty clear that the Presidential Records Act, which has been validated within federal court, allows the president to take what records he chooses, and he is the senior executive authority that actually designates all authority for classifying documents.
Yeah.
So he has the power, the president of the United States. It doesn't matter if it was Jimmy Carter, Ronald Reagan, Bill Clinton, Barack Obama, he has the power, the president's office has the power to declassify documents and keep classified documents in his private libraries.
Yeah.
And of course, we know that others, including Joe Biden as vice president and Mike Pence as vice president, kept classified documents when they left office. They, you know, claim that somehow Trump is really breaking the law, but they didn't. And then, of course, the entire argument here also, it's not just the classification issues,
but it's also that he tried to obstruct the government from, you know, obstruct the investigation on it. But if he has the authority, then there's no crime. And this is the same issue with the Russia collusion narrative. They tried to claim that obstruction would have been the issue, even if he wasn't, you know, colluding with Russians. Well, that doesn't make a lot of sense. You can't obstruct a crime that didn't exist. And of course, when you've got the Presidential Records Act, you've got judicial standards that have allowed that to go forward, and Bill Clinton was taken to court over it, you know, and validated and be able to keep his documents. There's the arguments that he's not able to keep these documents will basically ultimately fail as he goes through the court process.
Well, the thing that I think is amazing about this is everything that you and I talked about this morning off mic, in my opinion, really makes my country look really bad. It makes the country that you risked your life for look really bad, Jimmy. And there is absolutely no reason for that other than something that would have to be a very nefarious plot, perhaps behind the Democratic Party. I'm really starting to believe in the truth on that, Jim.
It's. I don't think it's just the Democratic Party. I think there's many powerful influences that are attempting to undermine the stability of our nation. And you know, your point about fighting for this country. You know, it's just like too many people have died. Too many people have risked their lives thinking that they were doing something in an honest, you know, for good values, for that Constitution
right.
that protects our individual rights and makes us equal to or greater than the government. And what we're seeing here is a full-on assault on those principles and the principles of our nation in order to either financially gain or politically gain power. And yeah. unfortunately, we're watching the ramifications of it. Yeah. I don't know if we're going to be able to get out of it. It feels so dark right now, but I'm going to be optimistic and hope that that enough people are waking up.
Yeah, well, what I have to say, Jimmy, is I'm really wondering how long it's going to take Russia and perhaps mainland China to really take advantage of us.
Well, I think China has been taking advantages of us, and I think this whole meeting with Blinken went to them. They didn't come to us.
Yeah.
The Trump team had done a very good job in setting some rules up that forced the Chinese to change some of their trade policies and, of course, back down on some of their military aggressive actions. And that, you know, not only there, but also in the Middle East as well as in North Korea. So, you know, you had a bit of a stabilizing period there. But as we talked about early on in the Biden regime, we said, I was very clear about it here and on other radio shows that I talk on, that we would be tested. The Russians would be tested in Ukraine. The Taliban would test us in Afghanistan. The Iranians would test the United States in the Middle East. And China would test us around the world. And you've seen the results of this. It's very embarrassing. And I don't think that anybody is professional enough in the White House here to be able to protect our interests at this point.
Well, I think you're probably right about that. I think you're probably right about that, Jim. And it makes me very sad at this stage of my life to see something like this happening to the country that basically, on a couple of occasions, really saved some other countries in the world.
The world changed in 1776 with that Declaration of Independence, in a few years, you know, two decades later, with the, you know, creation of our Constitution, and we set a precedent that other nations would eventually be judged by. And what we're seeing is a complete reversal of that, where the powerful, we're going back to the way history has been most throughout time, and that's where the powerful dictate terms. And most everybody else gets just trounced on by governments. And that's the unfortunate to watch it happen.
Yeah, good point. Jimmy, we've been going about 15, 16 minutes, 14:45 to be exact. What else would you like to touch on this Monday?
Gosh, I, you know, it's been, it, obviously we took a little couple weeks off here. There's been so many things that are going on. The most interesting thing to me is to watch this argument over, you know, some vaccine people like Peter Hotez and RFK Jr. with Joe Rogan's podcast talking about vaccinations, and more awareness and more, excuse me, more facts coming out on the negative implications of vaccines, but in particular, what happened with this entire, you know, COVID manufactured jab scenario. It's important to see the science beginning to come out where they're not canceling different groups for bringing out information that's showing how badly this was done, how badly the what the negative implications are for the world, both economically but also physically, because of the manufactured mRNA vaccines, and then the power that the industry, that the tech companies, and of course the government had to censor people. And it's beginning to break. That information is starting to have people question, people that were very loyal and committed to the, you know, what that the government was doing right by them, are now beginning to question that. I'm seeing a lot of Democrats, a lot of liberals, a lot of conservatives that thought, hey, everything was, you know, in the right direction. But I thought it was interesting to see Donald Trump come out and say, hey, when I get back in office, that I will do an investigation on autism with vaccinations. And that's the first time in, you know, since the argument started years ago, that anybody has said that. And I think there's going to be a lot of support for those types of things, really questioning the pharmaceutical industry.
Jimmy, I made a comment earlier in our discussion here about a nefarious group, and I mentioned the Democrats. And you jumped in at the end and you said, I wouldn't be surprised if it was a group other than the other major political party in the United States. That's a very interesting question. We've been going about 17 minutes and 10 seconds here. I'd like you to elaborate on that, if you would.
Well, people like, you know, Eric Schmidt, Mike Bloomberg, these people were actually on the intelligence oversight board that helped influence collection policy around the world. And they've got tremendous interests in China.
Yeah.
You've got tech companies. You've got, of course, you know, Alphabet, Google. You had Twitter until Elon Musk bought it out. You had a large, I should say, a small group, you know, Bill Gates. You have these very influential people that run in these little circles. And because of their power and because of their money, they get credibility. And I think those people, along with, you know, George Soros and now his son Alexander, that have political agendas in order to enhance their power. And they use whichever political party will support their interests. And the Democrats, I think, have now been co-opted by the influence and the money and the ability to shape elections in order to achieve goals for these big, powerful people, you know, Larry Flint at BlackRock, you know, Sam Bankman-Fried from FTX, by God, this young guy that goes in and just, you know, destroys the crypto industry, but he buys a lot of influence. Yeah. And that's what you're seeing. And I think many, many people in Washington are susceptible to that, including Republicans. And I think right now the power lies with the Democratic Party, and so the influence lies in these very influential, powerful people buying power through them. And of course, the way they must keep their message protected is through censorship. And when you get the government stepping in to help them do that, and then you get the government and law enforcement going to attack political opponents and to threaten the population in order to adhere to their policies, I think it's a very successful endeavor that they've gone on to basically corrupt America. And I think it's a combination of all those, you know, corrupt individuals. And that includes a handful of very influential Republican globalists as well as political leaders.
Yeah, I think you're 100% right. It's going to be interesting between now and, let's say, a shorter period of time as the end of the year to see how this shakes out. I think you're going to be proven correct, Jim, personally. I do. Anything else you want to say, bud?
No, I guess the one other thing that's kind of interesting to me, and I think I mentioned it on the weekend show, but I'll just reiterate it here. So when Eileen Cowan, the judge in the Trump, you know, Mar-a-Lago case, required the lawyers to have security clearances, that almost guaranteed that this election would not trial and a conclusion for a determination for Trump's guilt or innocence over this Department of Justice case won't happen till after the 2024 election because of the length of time it takes to complete those clearances.
Right.
I think that is going to bode well for Trump in one way, but others will say, hey, he's under indictment, and
right.
and we'll see how this turns out.
That's
but you just saw the Westchester DA dropped charges against Trump and his administration after a 2-year investigation, and she was a Democrat and said, hey, look, we can't really charge him with anything.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think once people wake up to these, you know, false allegations, I mean, the Russia collusion narrative, the Ukrainian phone call, that, you know, those impeachment processes, the January 6th, just the lies that the government, you know, perpetuated on people, COVID issues. I think people are going to be very angry, and I think that there's a high probability that they're going to respond by putting Trump back in office.
Well, it's going to be interesting. I really want to say, from a perspective for the country, I hope that happens, and I hope that the country gives him the chance to do what he does best. I'm not sure that's going to happen, but we will certainly see. Jim, thanks so much, man.
You bet. It'll all depend on who counts the votes, and that's the problem we've got.
You bet.